And that's why I think coming together like this is very important. Some of the songs you notice, we were singing about the Lord, some were to the Lord, and some were singing about ourselves. The truth, a bit like Psalm 103 that says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." David was talking to his spirit to declare the truth of God. And that's a great thing we can do together. And as Sam mentioned at the start, this time on Sunday morning is the only thing all of us in this Christian community actually assemble and come together for the same thing at the same time. It's very important with the children too. It's a great family expression. Anyway, two or three of the songs had the word hope in. And I want to talk about hope this morning because we need hope to be able to move forward and change as individuals and as community. I think it was Selwyn Hughes, obviously before he died, said something very important. You cannot exhort a discouraged person. I've thought about that a lot. You cannot exhort a discouraged person. If someone's discouraged and down in themselves or downhearted, and you come along and say, "Come on, you've got to be discouraged," and it sort of, it jars. And it says in the Proverbs, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers them up. I think we've all done that. You know, we can all be sort of amateur counselors at times, we can say this and do that, but so very often we need a word of encouragement to the person before we can take on board what the Lord is actually saying, "You've got to do this and be that and all the rest of it." It's very easy to look at the Bible and easily say, "Well, you've got to be just like Jesus last week." See? And the Lord's goal is to transform us into his image, but it's a work in progress and ultimately is completed when we see him and he arrives from heaven and we're transformed in a moment. But it's quite easy to get down as a Christian about a lot of things. Remember when Jesus was walking, or the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, two disciples walking along and Jesus came alongside. And he does this with us. He just comes alongside and he asks them, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Are you the only one around the area here in Jerusalem who hasn't known what's been going on?" Well, there was an understatement. Jesus was the center of it all, the center of history. But at that point, he did not rebuke them at all. But he asked them the question, "What things?" But if you look at the text, you'll see before he even asked the question, it says, when he asked them, "What are you talking about?" it says, they stood still, they stopped, and their faces were downcast. They were really discouraged, disheartened. Their hope, all the hopes they put in Jesus as Messiah, had evaporated. And they were very disillusioned, discouraged, all of that. They stood still, their faces downcast. And then Jesus said, "What things? What has got to you?" Isn't that amazing? Because we think, "I should never be discouraged," or "I should never be this, never be that." But it's wonderful how Jesus teases out of us as a wonderful counselor the things that are getting on top of us. And things, it's very easy for things to get on top of you. I mean, the news of itself, our global context, is quite depressing. We're seeing all sorts of weather effects going on around the world, economic crises, the euro in trouble, injustices all over the place. You hear of another murder in Bristol or something like this. The working environment can be something that can be quite discouraging. Austerity from the government. What's going to happen with jobs this year with the cutbacks? Petrol going up. You think, after a while, you can just sort of, oh. And then you're running a family as well. Then you've got personal issues. And then you're this, and then you're that, and it's... And then you hear things, you know, we've got a real heart to see this nation turn to Christ. And the amount of unbelief that's around in the media and everything else, think, oh. And what can happen is that the mountain of negativity can be so great. And here's little old us looking at this big mountain. And then we look at ourselves and we think, I can't, it's just too big for me. I can't do this. I'm even frustrated about being a better disciple of Jesus in all of this in terms of my reactions and attitudes. And every day there's things I've still got to learn. And you see this big mountain. You think, how am I going to get over this? And you're looking at yourself as a resource to try and get on top of it. And that's when we go down, isn't it? We can get discouraged with ourselves or with other people and circumstances. But isn't this where the Lord is so very good? When they stopped, he didn't carry on walking. He stopped and gave them time and listened and heard. And when they spoke out what had got them down, he then spoke in words of life that transformed them. And they went back to Jerusalem, the very place that where everything had seemed to go wrong, buoyant and changed. And what happened in that exchange was they turned from despair to the opposite, which is hope. And everybody needs hope. You and I need hope. Came up with a thought this last week. What is hope? Hope, there's H-O-P-E, hope, I see what you think of this, is having an outlook that is positive and expectant. What about that? Hope is having an outlook that is positive and expectant. Last week, Richard talked about anticipation on a daily basis of what the Lord is going to be doing that day in you, through you, around you, and that sort of buoyancy of God's presence and confidence in his working, that something's actually going on, that's good. But what we need is the ears to pick up from Jesus what he is saying into our lives and those times when it all gets to us. It's very important the word stop is not spelt G-O. Okay? And we're a very busy people. And somebody said to me last week, when you're whizzing on a fast train, there's a lot of stuff you miss. And we can miss that still small voice of the Lord speaking into our situations. I don't know, Chris, if that verse is, did you manage to find it? Yeah. Shall we just read this together? Because it's a fantastic verse in Romans 15:13. Okay? It's a real blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's just look at it. He's called the God of hope. He's not the God of despair or discouragement. A lot of words you've sung today inspire hope. Confidence in the Lord who loved us and died for us and rose again from the dead and is with us. The end of Psalm 130, it says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Now, the nation of Israel today for many years has put its hope in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, because it's won incredible battles over the decades since the nation's inception. But they've lost confidence in that now, because it hasn't won the thing with different situations. And you will hear some Israelis saying, my security is in God. That's good, isn't it? And Israel also applies, I believe, to us as believers in Jesus. It's the people, the spiritual nation of the Lord. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Why? Because with the Lord is unfailing love. Unfailing. In terms of persistence and quantity. We're like ants trying to drink the sea. never runs out. Put your hope in the Lord, because with the Lord is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. He himself personally will redeem you, Israel, from all their sins. Hallelujah. We're all a personal work in progress. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is on the case. And that's fantastic, isn't it? So ultimately, though, we need to do our bit. The Lord is the one who initiated faith and will complete it in us. I think that's good news. Because apart from him and me, I'm the only one who has to live with me all the time. And boy, do I need hope. Because knowing that the presence of the Lord actually is actively working to produce, through the pressures and challenges, his image in us. With him is full redemption. We see this in the cross, don't we? This meal, which is fantastic, a remembrance of what the Lord has done and a reminder about what he is doing and what he is going to do in the future. It's fantastic. There's also, it's quite easy with this word, downcast. In Psalm 42 and 43, it mentions three times it asks the question, like the road to Emmaus. Why so downcast, O my soul? Well, it's because of this. It's because of my job. It's because of... And it can really secretly pile up. But then it says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Now, what you can do, therefore, you know, when we sort of analyze ourselves a bit, we can do a rain check on ourselves. If I'm feeling downcast, it's an indicator. Like when you go to the doctor, you've got symptoms of an illness. It points to something. When we're feeling downcast, because of that, those verses in Psalm 42 and 3, why so downcast, O my soul? It says it three times. It repeats it three times in those two psalms. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. If I'm downcast, it's because at that point in time, I'm not putting my hope in God. See? So you can do a self-diagnosis thing. We need to be honest. We can be honest with the Lord. Lord, I feel I've had it. It's all just too much. Or whatever it is, however big, small, quantity, doesn't matter. But as soon as we admit it, that lances the boil of that negativity. And something happens where our hope is put onto the Lord instead of despair because we're trusting or relying on something else. All right? That just seems to be how it works. Now, what I've got is, let's just look at that. Have you seen in there, there are three verbs in that text. First verb, fill. Right, so may the God of hope fill you with some joy and peace, all joy and peace. Now, it says in the Psalms, in your presence is the fullness of joy. So it's filling us with himself, okay? And peace. The Lord's presence. So often when people had an encounter with the Lord, was peace. The peace of his presence. Okay, so the first verb is fill. May he fill you with all joy and peace. As what? There's another verb. What do we need to do? Trust. Okay. Then what's the next verb? Overflow. So that you may overflow. So the Lord fills us so much with who he is, the God of hope, overflows. Having an outlook that is positive and expectant. It's also the word overflow occurs to overflow with thanksgiving, to overflow with grace, overflow with the life of the Spirit of God. That's what that is. Now, the Liverpool football team got a new manager, Kenny Dalglish, didn't they? And they're putting all the fans are putting their hope in Kenny Dalglish. And what's happened? They've lost twice since he's been manager. I don't know what's going to happen today. Are they playing? They're playing today. We'll see what happens. Okay. So people put their hope in things. There was that news cast a couple of days ago about Haiti. Remember Haiti? 400,000 children still in camps. The newscaster said, we need to give them hope. We need hope. We need hope for our families. We need hope for the future. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. That famous verse of the verse from the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Now, very quickly, there are five things that have come to mind this week that can help us in terms of having hope. Five things about God. They all begin with the letter P. I get a lot of these that begin with the letter P. Maybe it's because my name's Peter or something like that. I don't know. If my name was Xerxes, it would be a bit harder to alliterate something, but never mind. Okay, first of all, and just some things. We can have hope in God because of his immeasurable and infinite power. His power. In the past week, got a little telescope thing. I looked out at the moon on the two clear nights we had from our back garden, and Jupiter was next door. And I actually saw four of Jupiter's moons in an angle like that. I've never, ever seen that before. And I thought, wow. And the whole of the cosmos out there is so absolutely vast and incomprehensible. They're talking about the nearest galaxy has got billions of stars in it. And that's one dot. And there are billions of galaxies with billions and trillions of stars. And it's absolutely vast. So we can have hope in God because his power is absolutely infinite. His power. Ephesians 3, Paul says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. So we need to think about his power. Remember, he said to Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord in terms of having a child? With the disciples, when they gasped and said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He knows everything. He knows how to work our situations out for good. Praise God. His incredible power, Paul says in Ephesians 1, that is at work on our behalf. I think that's amazing. This vast being channeling his power for the good of each one individually of his people. Secondly, his promises. His promises are unbreakable. It'd be quite good as an exercise this week as you talk with other believers to think of some of those promises. Psalm 145 says he's faithful to all. His promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My God will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion right up until the day of Christ. I will build my church. There's vast numbers of promises, aren't there? I've chosen you. I've not rejected you. I've called you by name, you are mine. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. His unbreakable promises. And I read this week in Isaiah, even unto your grey hairs I am he. And you know, that had an impact on my life in a way it's never done before, now that I'm a granddad. Even unto your grey hairs I am he. That's quite encouraging actually. So his power, his promises, all hinge around, thirdly, his person, his character. He's got a beautiful character. We really need to know him better. He's the God of all grace, full of forgiveness, full of mercy, compassionate, gentle, unlimited patience, the Apostle Paul said of him. Goodness, faithfulness, peace, joy. And he wants to infuse himself more and more into us as we bathe in his presence. He does not lie. I've got to his immutable, there's a good word. Numbers 23:19 is not a man that he should lie. He's faithful to all his promises. That's fantastic, isn't it? Somebody ages ago gave us a little plaque thing like this with a rainbow on it, and it says underneath that the future is as bright as the promises of God. We need to really hold on to those promises, because his person is immutable. Fourthly, his purposes are good. Jeremiah 29:11, very well known to all of you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. His eternal purposes in reconciling us to himself, promise of resurrection from the dead and eternal life. We think about his purposes are good in Jesus. And fifthly, his presence. His presence is amazing. Didn't he say, I'm with you always? Can't we know his presence because the blood cleanses us from all sin and we can always access him through faith in the blood of Christ and the work of the Spirit? And we need to be better at this, to be still and know his presence. Because I believe his presence is a healing presence. It's a restoring presence. It's an affirming presence. It's a life-giving presence. There's a joy and a peace in the presence of God as we learn stillness before him. So we can put our hope in the Lord because of his vast power. His promises, his personage, his purposes, and his presence. There's a song we used to sing years ago, last millennium. And in thy presence there's fullness of joy. Those disciples on the road to Emmaus, as they reflected on the Lord when he revealed himself to them in the communion, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road? Affirming love actually is quite, it's very hard to describe, isn't it? It talks about that indescribable peace that passes understanding. The presence of God is what eternity is all about. And we begin to learn that now. Praise God. And in the stillness, he speaks and is with us. Well, the good news is we're now in a stage when the days are getting longer, should all start to warm up, and we saw a small tree yesterday that has started to blossom. You think there's the hope of summer, the hope of new things. And God wants to sow hope in us this morning in himself, because he is the future, not governments. Not things, not ourselves, but him. And may we indeed overflow with hope this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit as we connect with him more in sharing this meal. Amen? As we come, we just give it all to him, Lord, in your hands. You said you would make a way through the sea for us with everything to the praise of his name. Amen? Praise God. Let's just pray. Father, thank you that you are the God of hope. Thank you, Lord, you draw alongside to lift our hearts and to focus on you. And this morning, Lord, as we gather together and remind ourselves of you and your goodness, may your presence, Lord, fill us. Lord, reveal yourself, we pray, in new ways as we share this meal together. Lord, as we share this meal, we want to say no to every bad influence in our lives and yes to you who are goodness, you who deliver us. Come, Lord. Speak, touch, restore, heal, bless, lift, encourage, release. Amen.